Now, where else do they affect you? Well, let's take a look. Do you overeat? Some people say, well, I'm going to go on a diet. Yep, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to starve myself and then I'm going to be real skinny. How often does that work? I'd say slim and none. In fact, studies show that 95% of the people who go on a diet within 2 years have not only gained the weight back, but have also usually gained an additional 2 pounds beyond the weight they were on when they went on the diet in the first place. See, trying to create more pain in your life rarely works, because I got to tell you something. The need to avoid pain is biological. It's built into your nervous system. Why? Because it's a survival mechanism. And your brain is going to fight like crazy anytime it sees that you're asking it to do something that's going to lead to pain. So what do we need to do to change our eating patterns? What do we need to do so we get permanent weight loss and we have the physical health we want? Well, the first thing I would do if I were you is I'd find some of the foods that you're obviously addicted to. In other words, foods that you eat on a regular basis and you eat them in excess. Why do you eat them in excess? You go, well, because when I was growing up, these and these things happened to me. No, that's not true. There's only one reason you eat more food than you should. Because it's pleasurable. Because you like to eat that chocolate. Because you think, Godiva chocolate. And you just go into a state where you got to have it. See, you associate deep, deep pleasure, and that's why you go for it. Now you say, yeah, but being fat is really painful. That's true. But the reason you ate the chocolate, because in that moment, what was more real to you? The pain of being fat or the pleasure of the chocolate? I would assume that it was the pleasure of the chocolate if you're overeating. So what we've got to do to make a change in our life is not go out and discipline ourselves, but to change what we link pleasure and what we link pain to. So what if you saw somebody that you were really attracted to and you wanted to be with them, you wanted to develop a relationship, but you didn't follow through? How come? Real simple, isn't it? Because you associated more pain to walking up and asking him for a date than not doing it. You thought, well, gosh, but if I could do it, I could have the pleasure. But which one was a more powerful motivating force? The pleasure of being in relationship or the potential pain of being rejected? If you didn't follow through, we know the answer, don't we? The pain. And I'm here to tell you something that for years I would have probably argued with you if you would have said this to me, because I feel like I'm a real proactive person. But if there's anything that my research and human behavior has shown me time again and again and again, in most cases, pain, the need to avoid pain, is a greater motivator for people than the desire for pleasure. I hate to say that because I love to do things for proactive reasons, but I also have found that people do almost anything to avoid pain. Now, I got a question for you. What happens when two pains come up side by side? What happens when if you do something, it's going to be painful, but if you don't do it, it's going to be painful? Which action will you take? For example, you might say, well, gosh, if I don't go up to this lady and meet her, then I'll never meet her again. I'll never have a relationship and I'll miss out and you have the pain of that. But on the other side, your brain's saying, but if you do go up and she rejects you, my gosh, then you're really going to have pain. So what determines your behavior is which pain is more intense. Does that make sense?